Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Occasionalists Daily. Matt Pagel here once again, leading you into our second week of daily episodes. First week out of the way, it was a lot of fun, but ready to jump into this second week as we get farther and farther into the March of Minisodes. For this week, we're going to be changing it up a little bit. Obviously, we talked sports last week and you know what the big problems were for each of the major sports and you know their respective leagues. This week we're going to be talking about making the gym a little bit more fun and having fun while we're in there. And I'll get to more details of the genesis for that for this week. But per usual, we got to start off with a little bit of on this date. So today, Monday, March 11th. Let's go all the way back. Let's rewind it to March 11th, 1957. We're going to talk some TV here. Charles Van Doren finally loses on the game show 21 after winning $129,000, which would have been quite a staggering amount of money back in 1957. Of course, it was all fixed. The outcome was fixed. Van Doren knew the questions. I can't remember exactly the machinations behind this, but the whole point was this was riveting TV. People were tuning in by the droves to watch 21, and you know, having someone continuously win night after night, you know, not it's not too unlike when Ken Jennings had his long Jeopardy run, and we've had some long Jeopardy runs recently. People want to tune in to see how far that person can go, and you know, I'll give the producers of the game show this: they knew exactly what created compelling television, and it was someone who was continuously defying the odds at this game show was compelling television. And that's the narrative that they went with. And it wouldn't be such a scandal if they didn't present it as real, right? If this was just a TV show, a fictional TV show about someone running up a scoreboard in a game, it would be different. But, you know, this was being presented as reality to everyone, which is where the scandal starts. There have been movies and TV shows made about this. I think Quiz Show is one of them. I can't remember. I feel like there's another movie, and obviously there's been documentaries and things about this, about the Charles Van Doren scandal. So, but this is, March 11th, 1957 is the day that Charles Van Doren finally, you know, quote unquote, loses on the game show 21. All right. So let's dive right into this. We are talking about having fun in the gym. And for me, as a gym goer, as a, you know, a lifelong gym goer, this isn't like hard for me to have fun. It's fun for me to get there regardless. But I know some people maybe don't have as much fun going to the gym. It feels more like a task. And I think everyone can feel that a little bit at least. But I do think there's also this different, we're at a different point in time where there's this, I don't even think it's fair to call it an undercurrent. Is there such a thing as an overcurrent? But there's just this obvious sort of strain of people who, I don't want to say gatekeep, but people who are the loudest on social media, the most visibly recognizable on social media, are telling you how the gym should be. And it's, I have zero problem with people giving advice and stuff like that. That's not the issue. But what I do have a problem with are people explaining, because keep in mind, a lot of these people, a lot of these fitness influencers have something to sell you. Just so always remember that there's something that they're trying to sell you. So if they're trying to sell you something, then that means they need you to do something in the same way that they're doing it. They need, you know, if it's a program, if it's supplements, whatever. They're going to try to sell you on the things that they do are at being the best, at being the only way, when it's just simply completely and totally not true. Not saying that you can't take pieces of advice from some of these people. Some of them do have good advice, but I just think that there is this sort of maybe just like a little bit of poison in the water for the way that certain people depict certain things at the gym. That it has to be this, it's all or nothing. That what you're doing has to be optimal and fully prime your muscles, and it has to do this and it has to do that. When the fact of the matter is, especially when you've been working out as long as I have, I mean, you know, approaching quite literally pushing into close to 30 years. When you've been doing that as long as I have, you will know that not every day can be a PR, that not every single day can be exactly on schedule, that not every single day you can optimize your strength and your lifting efficiency and blah, 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 whatever fucking bullshit that various fitness influencers get on. It's just not how it works. It's never worked like that. Some days you feel like shit and you just can't optimize anything. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you're just mentally stressed, whatever it is. There are days where you just don't quite line up to what your quote unquote expected output should be. But there are also days where maybe you just don't feel like, and I've had plenty of these, where I just don't feel like doing what I normally do. And instead of, and what I've found, you know, in recent years, and what makes me much happier, and also what obviously benefits me in the long run, is that sometimes I just get up there and I don't feel like, you know, maybe I'm scheduled for like a heavy squat day and I really don't feel like it. There are other things you can do besides heavy squat for your legs. You know, maybe it's a bench day, whatever, you know, I don't know, but you have a big heavy curl day set up for you, whatever. Well, there are other things you can do besides what you're going to go ahead and program. And maybe sometimes it's beneficial for you to go ahead and try something different. And I think more often than not, throwing yourself a little curveball here and there, it's obviously good for your physical development, but I think it's also really good for your mental health to try throwing yourself a little bit of a curveball in the weight room, maybe more frequently than you would realize or you would think that you need it. So that's what this whole week is going to be about. Throwing yourself some curveballs, or I guess giving you some curveballs to throw at yourself, giving you a little bit more of some background info on exactly what it is that I'm asking you, not asking you, suggesting, or you don't even have to, it's not even like you have to try it. Just look it up and see if it's something for you. But that's what this whole week is. Don't worry about what you should be doing. What's the most optimal thing to do? Why don't you just try some of this shit that's kind of fun? It's different. A lot of it's quirky. Some of it, as you know, as we get through the week here, I'm not going to lie to you, some of this is harder than the regular stuff you might be doing. But I would again just suggest keeping an open mind and seeing if it's something that might throw a little bit of spice into your something that might be stagnating otherwise, your gym routine that might be stagnating otherwise. That's kind of how I want you to look at this. So let's start off this. So we're starting Monday off hot with one of my favorites here. And we are starting off with accommodating resistance. So what is accommodating resistance? So you have some kind of an idea and it looks complicated, but it really isn't. And the benefits of accommodating resistance are tremendous. And I will say as a bonus, when you do begin kind of playing around with accommodating resistance, it is kind of fun being that guy or that girl in the gym that's doing the kind of weird shit. It's just kind of fun to do stuff that other people are not doing for themselves. So accommodating resistance. Weightlifting is resistance training, right? Like that's what weightlifting is. Anytime you pick up anything that has weight to it, you're resistance training. But what we're going to do with accommodating resistance, we are going to either use bands or chains to augment the resistance and kind of focus it, if for lack of a better term, focus it for different parts of the movement. That's what accommodating resistance is in a nutshell. And maybe this doesn't make sense to you. Maybe if you're a visual learner, maybe something like this can help. As opposed to me just to kind of explaining it. So imagine a bench press, right? You're sitting on the bench or lying down at the bench. You got your hands at the bar, your feet are planted, back is abs are tight, back's arched, you're ready to go, you're ready to rip. And then you unrack the bar, let it control drop to your chest, and then you do a press, right? That's your bench press. Well, when you're doing your bench press, there are two different periods of resistance. So when you unrack it, or, you know, at the, whatever, we'll just say, when you unrack it and you're letting the bar and the weight, whatever you have on there, fall to your chest, that is one path of resistance. That's the eccentric path of resistance, right? You're your body, your muscles have to keep the bar from just dropping and plummeting onto your chest. They have to work to bring it down in a controlled manner. And then there's the concentric. That's the part most people think about when you bench. That's the actual pressing part. When you press the bar up, that's the concentric movement. So again, it's pretty easy. Anytime you're the down part of your bench is the eccentric movement. The up part, the pressing part, is the concentric part of the bench. So what you can do here, you can add a band around the bar, you know, usually around the collars where you attach the weights, or you put the weights on. You can attach a band that's pulling down, and it will make both the concentric and the eccentric part of the motion harder. But the main benefit here is that you are greatly stressing the eccentric part. You are making it difficult on the, you are making it more difficult on your muscles, especially your stabilizing muscles, to lower the bar in a controlled and safe manner, because you have a band pulling down using gravity with it. It is pulling the bar down harder. Now, obviously, that's also difficult it's also difficult in the concentric, put on the press part, but your body's, you know, you are more apt to be able to handle this difficulty as opposed to stressing the eccentric, simply because, you know, think about it. Whenever you progress on bench, you add more weight to it. Your body's used to adding more weight on that part. So that part, it's not foreign to your body, but it is unusual to have this sort of additional pull happening throughout the course of your rep. So when you band it down, again, it's going to make both a little bit harder, but it's really going to stress and challenge the eccentric part of your lift, which is a really, really great thing to do. These are, you know, well, I guess I'll get to that here in a little bit. Conversely, you can also add a band to have it pull upward, right? This obviously is now going to ease both the concentric and eccentric parts of the movement, but this is mainly going to benefit the concentric part of your movement, the actual pressing, right? This, when you're banding up, and this is the kind of thing you'll actually need, like when it comes to banding down, some benches and things actually have pegs that are set up so you can attach, you can loop the bands around. A lot of other times, they won't have that, but you can do it with like a set of heavy dumbbells or something. You can loop bands around some heavier dumbbells to anchor them in place. There are things you can do, right, to achieve this. When it comes to banding things up, it's a little bit more difficult. You basically need to have at least a half rack or at least a half squat rack or a full squat rack, because you need something to anchor it above you, and you know that's, you're only going to find that in a squat rack. You know, be it the safety arms, be it in some cases they'll have some like runners along the sides you can anchor up to. Whatever. But when it comes to anchoring up, you need something above you to anchor, you know, to attach the bands to pull up. Otherwise, you obviously cannot do this inverted one. But anyway, when you add the bands, this is of major benefits. Even though it makes both the concentric and eccentric part of the movement easier, it's a great benefit to the concentric part. So this allows you to overload, basically. You can really pile some weight onto this that you wouldn't otherwise. And the reason being, obviously, it's taking some of the weight away on the eccentric part. When you're coming down with the bar, let's say you normally bench 225, you could probably put 275, 315 for like a one rep. Let's just say your one rep is 225. You could definitely put like 275, maybe even 295. For one rep, if you have the weight banded up, it's going to take the pressure away from the eccentric part. So when you're coming down, the band is actually stretching and flexing. It's making it easier for you to get into position with a little bit more weight until the bar touches your chest, and then when you come up, the band is going to the tension is going to lessen. So on the way up, it becomes less and less tense, letting the weight kind of not re-add itself, but the tension loosens, so there's more weight that you're pushing up. because this band is kind of helping you through the eccentric part, you can pile on more weight, you can overload it, and you can get used to throwing a little bit more, pressing a little bit more vigorously. At certainly at bigger jumps than you would otherwise. You wouldn't jump again if you bench 225 for a single rep. You'd make the jump to 235, maybe 245, but you wouldn't make a jump to 295 and try to throw one rep, right? Like that would be too much of a stretch. However, with this particular training method, you can make a big jump like that. You know, like I bench in the low to mid 300s. And whenever I kind of screw around with this upwards accommodating resistance, I can, pile on 4+ plates and, very frequently rep them for a set of 4 or 5. So it's not something I would just try to do on my own otherwise, but I can overload. And the benefits obviously to overloading are, you get used to holding more weight in your hands. You're going to build a little bit of strength a little bit quicker. I always think of it as a good plateau buster. Simply because you just sort of, a lot of times plateaus are mental just as much as they are physical. So let's just say you've never benched 315 before. Well, this is going to be one of those things. It really is mentally satisfying, I guess is kind of the way to put it, to see, even though you know it's being assisted in some way, it is sort of like mentally satisfying, and maybe even sort of, you can kind of trick yourself into going like, okay, I know I can handle 315 because I can pick it up and I can, obviously the bands will take away a little bit of the weight, but you can still feel what more or less what that feels like. And I think it's a really good way to bust those sort of physical, but also those mental plateaus, by banding up and overloading the weight just a little bit. Now, there is sort of a third alternative. So if you want to look cool and get both of the benefits of, stressing the concentric and eccentric, there is a way to do that. And like I said, you look kind of fucking badass in the process. And that's by using chains. So chains obviously aren't going to be anchored to anything. I'm literally talking about lengths of chain. You just, you take, in some cases, there's actual apparatuses that you can buy from companies that have attached chains and things like that. If you're like me, you can just go to a hardware store and buy a bunch of chain length and put it on a ring or put it on some carabiners or something like that. But regardless, point being here, when you attach chains, they're obviously not anchored to anything. So the benefit isn't going to, the accommodating resistance isn't going to be biasing one or the other. It's going to be biasing both. Because as you, again, think of the bench press. As you lower the weight, it gets lighter. So each inch that you come down to your chest with chains on either side, link by link, and it's more than one link at a time, unless you have like really big, huge, thick chains, but... for the metaphor here, link by link, as you get down, it gets a little bit lighter each time. So the eccentric part is getting just a little bit lighter as you get down towards your chest. And then as you come back up and you press during the concentric part of the movement, it gets a little bit heavier as you keep going up and up and up. So in this case, chains are sort of the way to kind of get the best of both worlds. I will say this though, most gyms are not going to have chains, for the most part. And if you do decide to make your own, I'm going to tell you right now, it is a task, an absolute task to bring them to a gym. I would recommend if you have a home gym, chains would be a really good answer for you. Not saying that you couldn't bring them to your gym. It's just a big pain in the ass to drag that much weight with you every time you want to do something. So, and like I said, most gyms probably aren't going to have chains. But pretty much every gym will have bands. And they're definitely a much easier, cheaper kind of starting point for most people. I would also say that. So not saying that I would give it, if you're really that interested and you want to try the chains, absolutely give them a rip. They're pretty fun. But I think that your more than likely better off starting off experimenting with some light bands with this kind of stuff. All right, so I kind of went into detail about, you know, about benching. I think that's just an easy one that people can visualize. But you can do this for literally almost every exercise. As long as you can anchor that band against something or to something, you can do it for literally anything. So like bench, it's an obvious one. You can do it for squat. I have done it for squat before. You know, it's a little bit, I always, whenever I do these on squat, I always use a box to kind of, so I do it as a box squat. So I have something to kind of stop me simply because I feel like when you do use the bands in a squat and you get down too low, the bands can kind of, sometimes they just get, they almost get too loose. Like they just like almost disappear from the equation entirely. And you don't really want that. Other times they might be so tense that when you start to get down that low, you get a little bit out of position and it can kind of unintentionally pull you one direction or the other. I felt that before too. So usually for me, I always do them. I always do my banded squats with a box. You can do it a deadlift. In fact, I really highly recommend it for deadlift as a way to break plateaus and really get the feeling of what heavyweight feels like when you deadlift. So that's a really good one for that. You can shoulder press it. You can I have done this before with curls, with concentration curl, or excuse me, preacher curls. Banded, you know, took one single band, threw it around a dumbbell, threw it around the bar that I was using. And I didn't even use weight. I just used that sort of, just used the resistance and used it pulling back on the, again, on the eccentric part. You know, the concentric's easy enough, but really kind of took my time and tried to fight the, when I was curling, trying to fight the band trying to open my arms back up, right? Triceps, leg accessories. You can do this for literally anything you can think of. Obviously, probably the one big piece of advice here, don't attach them to like the machines with like stacks. On a lot of machines with stacks, like you, they're not gonna, there's nothing you can, there's no way to anchor it against anything to kind of benefit you. But if you have like, you know, if like you have like a plate loaded shoulder press machine or a plate loaded incline press machine or something like that, then you could absolutely use it on one of those. I think the benefits are a little bit minimal when it comes to like an actual incline bench. It just doesn't feel like it doesn't feel like you can accurately angle the bands the right way to get the most out of it. Simply because of the way the incline benches are made, they're not like there's nowhere to anchor them that kind of gives the bands a chance to sort of move in a I guess like an exact kind of counter angle would be my only thing. Not that you can't, but I don't think it's as beneficial. That's all. So again, I think this is fun because like I said, great plateau buster, be it both, you know, whether it's strength or mental, strength plateau or mental plateau, usually it's hand in hand. And it's just fun. It's like a fun new feeling in a movement that you're probably pretty familiar with otherwise. You've probably bench pressed before. You've probably deadlifted before, squatted before, whatever. You've probably curled before, but you've never curled. If you've never heard of accommodating resistance, you've never had this feeling before when you're trying to bench. It almost feels overwhelming at first until like your body, you know, adjusts and you know, learns how to work with and against, you know, that kind of resistance. So I think it's fun for that. I also think it's fun for, it just feels like it's kind of flying in the face of a lot of the echo chamber kind of messaging that you get on social media. You're not seeing a whole lot of fitness influencers ban their deadlifts down or ban their squat down or ban their bench up or their ban their squat up. You're just not seeing a lot of it. And I like that. I like kind of working against the common wisdom and common sort of the common idea that everything has to be this way when there's other ways to do it, like throwing some bands on some shit. And then again, I think it's just kind of like fun to dick around with stuff like that, to just go ahead and do something different in the gym. Like you'll be surprised at how many kind of people that you might think about as being big and strong have never done anything like this before. And, you know, it's kind of something that, something unique that you're into that, maybe, you know, maybe they're not. And who knows, you might be the person that, that like the big people are now asking, advice on, advice to, or, you know, they're bending your ear, I guess, is the way to put that, as opposed to, you know, how usually people kind of come up to the biggest guy in the gym and ask him questions. You know, you're going to be one of those people too, if you start kind of working in these kind of unique movements like this. And I think that's pretty cool. So again, I'm not saying that you have to like immediately try this or work it in or whatever. Check out some YouTube videos, check out some Instagram videos, TikToks, whatever. You know, look up accommodating resistance and you'll see, maybe it's, maybe there's something in there for you. Maybe it's not bench press. Maybe you just want to, you know, maybe you're looking for a way to jump your deadlift from 400 pounds to 500 pounds. I'm telling you, this will be a really good way to sort of get that feeling of what 500 pounds feels like with some heavy bands. And certainly, you know, stressing the eccentric part of a deadlift is, excuse me, the concentric part of a deadlift is, it's already tough. And, it, you know, you make it really tougher by having this constant tension that, that you have to work through, that you have to work on, you know, forces you to work on your form even more, when you have something like that. So, you know, just another benefit to this type of training. But that's it. Otherwise, these are definitely, I think, going to be the shorter of the episodes for the rest of the month. I think these ones are going to just barely clip about 20 minutes, simply because I'm not giving you like, I'm not going to end up giving you like a full blown workout or anything like that. That's stupid. But you know, a lot of this stuff, once you get the details, once you get some of the, you know, some of the ideas, like that's it. It's just up to you to go ahead and execute them or at least investigate them a little bit further. So yeah, these episodes are going to be a little bit on the shorter side, I think. But that's it. That does it for today's episode. And we will catch you tomorrow. We'll catch you on Tuesday when we are talking about some sled work, baby. Oh, yeah. Looking forward to that one. See you tomorrow.